James, it looks like that we are live on Healing Networks. So welcome. Yeah, perfect timing. James, thank you for jumping on Healing Networks and, you know, being here. I'm so grateful. I just have to say that for you as a person, as an individual, as an author, as a creator, and as a, for all the things that you've done, you know, up to date. And I suppose the purpose of this connection is obviously for us to have a beautiful, authentic conversation around you, your consciousness, the wonderful things and wisdom that you have to share with us and your work moving forward with your tour and everything. So please, by all means, take the stage and share with us with what's happening with you.
Yeah, again, I thank you for having me, and thanks to all your listeners. I'm very excited right now. It's I believe it's a new time in the world. Because in spite of all the agitation and anger and fear that we see out there, especially in politics, something else is beginning to happen. Because this moment, millennials are in a very special place in their life astrologically. They're moving into 38, 39, with 40 right in front. And they're they're shifting in a way that moves them toward, and they're telling me this, I'm not trying to speak for millennials, but the impact of a new generation really seeking their true purpose, you know, moving from, you know, just sort of making it to what I really want to do in my life. Asking that question is very significant, because when you ask those questions, you start to tune in to, you know, higher self and larger consciousness. And at the very same time, there are the older children of millennials, you know, they've been called Zs. I hope they'll name themselves quickly, because, you know, they are, you know, going through high school now, looking at college coming, and they're asking, well, how do I educate myself? How do I find my dream? How do I get prepared for that without, you know, incurring a huge debt? You know, what can I do? How should I navigate that? And those are big questions. And at the very same time, you have baby boomers sort of moving into a place in their life where they really are thinking about their legacy. You know, what can we do to help shift the world towards something more positive and toward a positive evolution, toward what our dreams have always been? And all that questioning is contagious. Mm. And what's happened, in my view, is that it's a new time in the world, in the sense that it's never been easier to tune in. You know, people are going in, you know, discovering and practicing meditation as never before. Never been this many people meditate in the world. So it's a huge shift in my view, and we're celebrating because one of the things that are happening is that people are passing around spiritual books again to each other, and so they're looking for an alternative, and they want to discuss with their friends, and it's just a kind of emergence, and we're celebrating that since people are passing the Celestine Prophecy around. I've created a new edition, an updated edition that has a long afterword that I've written about staying awake. You know, when you read a book like the Celestine Prophecy, it does fire up those neurons. It keys higher self, and you know, you put a book like that, there are other books like that, but if you put that book down, you know, you go, wow, I'm ready to go. I'm awake. Mm-hmm. But the world is not so much. And run into difficulties in communicating with people around these ideas and so forth. So I really wanted to write an afterword for the book that talks about staying awake and moving from just insight, just the raw of the awakeness of it, to using the abilities we now have spiritual as a result of higher consciousness. So yeah, I'm pretty excited. I think everybody is. We're going to do what we're calling the Celestine Prophecy Inspiration Tour, starting with the United States and then beyond. So we'll be traveling all through 2019. So I'm pretty excited about the conversations that are going to arise in these events that we plan. And I believe part of this being a new time is that we're actually putting, again, moving into a kind of sustaining or maintaining of these new abilities, new you know, firing up of the brain consciousness at a higher level. But we it's time to have a conversation and kind of a rally, really, about how this consciousness, as it's integrated into more and more people, can shift what we now see going on. A lot of corruption, a lot of negativity, but we don't have to dwell on that. All we have to do is replace it with a kind of love-centered consciousness, which is the most powerful in terms of shifting the world and also gives us the best life we can possibly have here.
James, I'd love to touch base on one thing that you mentioned. You mentioned the word abilities. And for those that might not be clear on what you mean when you use the term abilities, can you explain?
I believe that because this sort of opening in the consciousness is contagious, we're again moving in you know, creating a new sort of way of living in the life that's different. And one of the things that I talked about in the Celestine Prophecy was a life full of synchronicity, and these meaningful coincidences that first bring you solutions to whatever problems you have, a clarity about who you are. And then synchronicity brings us a glimpse of, as individuals, why we came to this planet, what truth do we want to tell? And that could be anything from, you know, starting a new technology, solving the, you know, world problems, hunger and education and the rest, or it can be just a truth that you tell everybody that comes your way. There's no limit to that. But there's also no job that's too small, no truth that's too small for somebody to really get inspired to tell the people they cross paths with in life. So that's one of the abilities, and we'll be talking about it in the events, just how do you sustain synchronicity? I mean, we all have it, right? But what happens, what makes it stop? And how do you step into a flow of synchronicity that can make your life quite miraculous in terms of how it unfolds once you do the things you need to do to move on a path of destiny? And that's a consciousness, you know, sensing your destiny and watching it unfold. So this is you know, these are real things. You know, I mean, you could sit around in an intellectual conversation, talk about them. We're not talking about that. We're talking about how to experience them and how to, you know, move into a flow. One is synchronicity. One is, of course, the power of intention. You know, once we learn how to use it, it's how to understand karma and get into, in my view, the alignment with the karmic structure of the world. Life doesn't have to be this hard for people. There's just some shifts that have to be made in our reaction patterns and you know, I think it's there's something that can be clearly stated and clearly experienced in the world we live in today.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And since your first book, The Celestine Prophecy, James, there's been a few since. And do you think that that's more written in alignment for millennials as well, or for the present moment? Does that make sense what I'm saying?
I think that, you know, I wrote the Celestine Prophecy, which was 9 insights. And then three more books, you know, the 10th insight, the 11th insight, and the 12th insight. So altogether, it's important for me to make it clear that these aren't James Redfield's prescriptions for a happy life. You know, I didn't make this up. What I sought to do with the Celestine Prophecy is just describe the experiences that people were already happening, but were already feeling and moving through. And of course, the first 9 were already fully in the world. And of course, what happened with the Celestine Prophecy, as you know, was it just became a pass along book, you know, and it was passed along all over the world. It was the best selling book in the world for 2 years. And not because of anything I did, right? This was way before I started traveling with the book or lecturing or anything like that. It was a pass along because people recognized what was the experiences that were described in the book as something that they'd glimpsed. They had had these experiences. Mm-hmm. So, but the next insight, which again is, I think of the insights as just awakening steps that humanity is taking. And the first nine was what were well into the world, but I had to wait on the 10th insight because, mm-hmm. again, I'm not making these up. I had to wait until I saw the 10th insight happening in the world as a real insight that was worldwide. And then I wrote about the 10th insight, which is, a perception, a new perception of the afterlife as a real place, you know, mm-hmm. not just angels dancing on clouds. This was we discovered that the afterlife is a real place from which we come to which we go back. Mm. So that was a big insight for the world. And then the 11th insight was when the world really started to grasp the power that we have in terms of prayer intention, you know, and so we can not only just flow with and let ourselves be guided with synchronicity and through intuitions, we can also add our power to help these goals that we have to be reached. Mm-hmm. And that's a real power. And that's when, if you remember, that was back when the book The Secret came out. You know, it's mm-hmm. didn't have it all in there, but that was a kind of sign that we were talking about prayer intention and the power of our visualization of the future. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, after the 11th insight came the 12th insight. And the 12th insight is where I described the integration that was happening in science and people who study consciousness and all of that. There was kind of integration, which means a lot of people were understanding all of these insights and how to step into them. But it couldn't really happen until millennials and their older children became the most popular, they're the majority population in the planet right now. Mm. Because consciousness is contagious, then what's happening is they tune into spirituality seriously. Mm. And if I may, what millennials tell me is they don't want such abstractions, you know. Just tell me something I can experience and I can keep going in my life. So they're sort of bringing all this exploration into consciousness that happened with the previous generation down to earth, sort of, you know, throw out the stuff that is that you can't experience. What is it that we actually experience and become and derive new abilities to keep those active in our lives? So, that's what's happening now and what we'll be talking about on the tour.
Yeah, wonderful. And it's so remarkable. I'll just share, James, which I did share with you offline, but it's something that I'd love to share just for the purpose, you know. When I first read the Celestine Prophecy, I wasn't aware that I was a medium at that stage. I was experiencing mediumship. And a lot of psychic phenomena and had all of my life, but I didn't have the clarity on what I was experiencing until I read it, because it was a lot that of the consciousness that you brought into that book that I was able to tap into and read and download, and that really resonated with me, that provided so much insight and clarity on my own experiences that then forward I was able to just take a completely new direction. So thank you so much for that gift for myself personally, that you had no idea that you had an impact on. And that's why I'm so grateful to be able to chat to you. And I'm sure that there's so many others So many people on the planet that would have been able to receive that gift from you as well. And I think that this is wonderful that you're able to go on tour now. And then, you know, for those that are in the States that are available to come and see you and see you speak and connect with you, I'm sure that those insights will just enhance even more. So for the people that are actually going to be in California or to start with or around the States, can you share with us where you're going to be and what times for those that may want to reach out, book a ticket, make sure that they're available to come and see you? That would be wonderful.
Well, we're adding more stops every little while. So, but we'll be in Orange County, first, actually, and then moving into San Rafael, and then we'll be in the course of the year we'll be in Portland, we'll be in Sedona, we'll be probably in Phoenix. Mm-hmm. So we'll be the best way you can anybody can find the tour dates is to go to the SelsingProphecyTour.com. Mm-hmm. and be right there. And that way you'll have access to all the dates and times and that sort of thing. So we're pretty excited about it because again it's something that it's tangible, this new exploration of consciousness. Mm-hmm. It's happened so refreshing, hearing that exists in the background noise of the world. But I always like to say there's so many more good people who love their children, their families, and want the best for humanity and all that. And the people in deep fear, which is really what causes the hate and everything. And, it's a deep fear. Mm-hmm. And the solution to that is because it's contagious, right? It's consciousness of us whole. In the Celestial Prophecy, the first chapters, entitled The Critical Mass. And so there has to be a critical mass level of consciousness that people decide for themselves to move into and hold before we can really see immediate positive change happening in the world.
Yeah. And James, will the insights continue?
Well, I think there are only 12, and I have a book for each one, right? Mm-hmm. But what we're doing now, and again, I've written afterward, I have a new book coming out in about 18 months that will be a comment on how to break through what holds us back as individuals. Ego matters, we have to break through to our highest consciousness itself, and one of the ways the ways that I think make that easier is Enneagram studies, and also one of the things that we're doing in the events is to present a new meditation that I think really works rapidly. And that with the Enneagram studies, again, this is the new book that won't be out for a while, but we'll already be talking about some of that in the events. So, for anybody who senses that they're not doing what they really want to do in life, they're working at a job, maybe they're doing fine, and maybe their kids, they're focusing on their kids. But as you move into 40, because it's astrologically, it's when Pluto is 90 degrees from where Pluto was when you were born. And whole generation, because they're close age with each other, they go through that at the same time. So in the next 5 years, 40 million people are going to go through this sense of, oh my goodness, maybe actually worldwide a lot more than that. But this sense that, what did I really come here to do? What would give me the greatest fulfillment and sense of satisfaction to be doing? Mm-hmm. And many times, of course, that's creating something. You have to kind of create your own job. But that's already happening. People are finding ways, especially with the internet and all the other resources you can use to get truths out. Because in the end, you know, our missions are really a truth that we tell.
Mm-hmm.
So in the events, we'll talk about how we can look at our history and the synchronicities, maybe as we think about them that happened in the past, you know, why we were born to our parents who got us first started in life, right? And why did we emphasize certain friends? Why do we like certain friends? You know, what were all those synchronicities? And then this is a long kind of group meditation, but you wind up finding out what the world has already prepared you to go out there and talk about. And sometimes it's everything you could imagine. It's something within all the usual professions and jobs in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But the key is to feel very, I mean, to really affirm it yourself. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. what I'm here to do. And I know because of the work you do, you know what that feels like.
Yes, definitely. I think it's wonderful. It's so beautiful that the insights have continued, you know, to just tap into more information and to bring more consciousness and love and centeredness at a time to us, you know, that where we need it, you know, now the most, I think. And I think what's wonderful as well, you know, the fact that you're touring and people get to come and see you and actually connect with you, I think is wonderful, and it's quite fascinating as well. You mentioned something, James, that I can't stop thinking about, so I'm going to ask you about it. Earlier in our conversation, you said, this is not about James Redfield. And, you know, like the Celestine Prophecy in the book. And it got me thinking, is this just about you tapping into a level of consciousness and downloading the information to share? Is that how it works for you? Or where does the inspiration and the information come from?
Well, you know, it's kind of a process. And the process is, you know, a lot of what we have coming to us in terms of emotionally and chatter, you know, thoughts, reviewing things we should have done, having regrets of things we missed, all that is what clouds up, you know, our moving into this higher consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So I went through that process, and I'm still going through that process, right? It's never really completed. But the experience that I had was that I wanted to write. I really wanted to do a kind of operation manual for planet Earth, you know, mm-hmm. so that it would, something that clear about, you know, what are the steps into consciousness? What do we have to do to get past our ego coping devices and, mm-hmm. you know, all these things we do to make ourselves feel better instead of tapping, you know, into our intuitive knowing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what meditation does. And it's surprising really how quickly, in my view, it can happen. Once anyone decides to just practice tuning in to a larger part of their knowledge. And what happens is that we download a kind of intuitive knowledge. So it's intuitions that come that give us an idea to go somewhere, to go to the bookstore, to call that old friend, to call that client just at the right time. So mm-hmm. that's what makes life go better, because we're starting to operate intuitively rather than just with a list of things to do every day that our ego writes down.
Mm-hmm.
So I experienced that over a long period of time, but what I wanted to do was just, you know, I was observing as much as participating in this opening to consciousness. But what I received, you know, I mean, you can't put it any other way, was the steps that represented kind of archetypal firings in our brains that opened this consciousness of feeling awake and feeling excited. You know, we talk about inspiration energy, right? It's the name of the tour. But that's what is the measure of whether you're really in this flow or not. How much inspiration do you have? Now, we can lose the ability that we now have is how to get it back. And how to really put all the pieces together, because all 12 insights are 12 abilities that we have. Okay, I mean, we recognize them when we read about them, but the key is putting them into practice in life at every turn. And that's what opens up all this miraculous type of synchronicity, where you can get in alignment with your dream. And as long as you're, and we can talk about karma if you want to, but as long as you get into karmic alignment, which essentially means being a giver, not a taker. And once we do that, then everything can open up and go quickly. And now, easier than ever before, right now. So I would say to anybody who's listening, who's thinking, you know, I want my life to take off. I want to be clear. I want to know what I'm talking about. I want to know what my truth is to get out in the world. And again, this is not being writing a book, although a lot of people want to write a book. And you know, you can change your life very quickly by writing a book. But it's not all about that. It's really about what you do with your own kids or your own grandkids or the people, your neighbors. It's the way you know how to help them and to bring your truth about what's important to living a higher consciousness to the people that you know. And what you get is a sense of fulfillment and a sense of destiny, because if you don't watch out, that little truth speaking to just a few people will suddenly get large, and you have to, if it happens, you have to go with that, which was what my experience was, obviously, because I wrote a book. I was a spiritual counselor at a Unity Church. I'm a psychotherapist, but I wrote a book because I followed my intuitive guidance to write it, and everything took off. So everybody has one of those self-discoveries within them. And that's the message that I want to bring to these events. And the thing is when we start stirring up all this inspiration energy in a group, everybody gets insight. You know, we can, you know, groups can elevate consciousness so that more and more people can pop into it, because it is contagious and we're designed to move into this inspired consciousness.
Yes, and group consciousness is extremely powerful, as you're just saying, you know. It can move mountains, or it can do some other things that we may not really want to do per se. And it's a matter of being very conscious of that vibration when it comes together collectively, isn't it?
We live in a spiritual world designed for miracles to happen. It's just that we haven't put it all together, but we are putting it all together. It's emerging in larger ways across the planet. And again, some of it is just because we're seeking an alternative to the materialistic, even atheistic kind of world that certain powerful entities have created. And the only thing that we can do is become an alternative to that. Don't have to hate. If some politicians on your television, you're yelling at the television, then you're joining in the hate fest. And that's what we're learning to move, because anything you hate become stronger. Right? Yeah. You just added hate energy. So what you do is just concentrate on living a different consciousness. And what that does is kind of shines light on the corruption. And people in the corruption, out of fear or whatever, are raised out of it, you know, so that the light shines on the darkness and it dissipates. Mm. And again, it's big anyway. Like, most people are very, very good people in the world. I mean, a huge majority. It's just powerful entities keep discord happening and on purpose, you know, but they're in fear, right? They're in fear. So just what we need to do always is just to be the alternative to that consciousness.
Yeah.
And that's what people, because it's also the best life you can possibly have, right? Mm-hmm. It's not only saves the world, it's the best life you can possibly have. And we know how to do it now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's so powerful what you've just said there. That actually resonates on so many levels about, you know, what you're talking about, you know, throwing hate towards something that you may dislike or may be against only gives it more power, you know, and it's just about bringing it back to ourselves and thinking to ourselves or feeling into ourselves and going, you know, where am I going to give, share or project my energy? And for what reasons and for what outcomes as well.
Right.
You know, I think as humans, we generally, you know, tend to think, you know, if we voice quite heavily in an aggressive manner or rally towards something we dislike, that it's going to eliminate the issue or the circumstance or the situation. And it's not the case energetically.
Mm. Yeah, you're just joining the dark side. Mm. and you know, that you just make the dark side larger. And,
yeah.
But yeah, that realization is happening all over the world. We're withdrawing from the discord and moving into the consciousness that's the alternative to that world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a great thing to see happening.
Yeah, and I think what's beautiful is that particular message, I think, along with the other million bits of insights that you have to share, is so powerful and it so needs to be heard and shared right now, you know. As we can see, you know, in our modern day world, you know, our ability to connect and get our message out is so much more instantaneous. You know, with social media and technology and if it's Twitter, whatever it is, you know, one movement, thought, comment, opinion can spread like wildfire, you know, and spread so quickly that it's really about us bringing it back to ourselves and the intention and the vibration of what we want to share and how we want to have that impact. And like you said, you know, are we screaming against what we call the dark side just by joining the dark side, by acting so, or, you know, or what is it that we really want to do here and what we really want to achieve, not just individually, but collectively as a human race. So
that's the vision we hold. And yeah, there's a unification in that because it's what we're designed to pop into anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's the best life we can choose.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most good in terms of building the world. You know, the Celestial Prophecy is a vision of the future, right?
Mm.
And I like to say it's a vision of the future, I think, that's collective. I think we all come into this world with that vision of the future. And it's one that we can create.
Mm.
And
yeah.
So it's... If we just put it together in terms of the new ability we have to live that kind of life and model that kind of existence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. James, just in your opinion, something that's come to me and just in your observation as well, do you think right now humanity's more thirsty for spirituality and a enlightened consciousness than ever? Or what have you seen during your journey and travels with this?
Well, I think I call it a new time in the world because it's the beginning of a, you know, a search for this consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you know, there's so many people, they look at the world and it seems like we're going backwards, right? There's less and less consciousness. And if you listen to, you know, the corporate media, you know, mm-hmm. and the thing is that, you know, they want a secular world where everybody fights because that's how, you know, they feel more secure money wise than every other way. So, that's what we're replacing. But I think in terms of at this moment when we have two huge generations reaching, this point of, you know, where the soul stirs, you know, it's astrological. It's built into every generation's, path as they move through time. And when that, especially that 38 number, when that pops, and it's really after 38, you download the rest of your knowledge sometimes. And if you do it consciously, I mean, it happens. There's a visionary, opening that happens, whether you call it consciousness or not. But if you do it consciously, using the power of your intention and the power of your, it's a kind of heart power that is the grounding force, because that's where we download all our, and the emotion of that, even though we react, to this word, which is love, you know, because there are so many bad examples of people who preach love. But if you can think of an emotion called authentic love, and what that is you're grounding into your higher self, into all that comes with that,
mm-hmm.
and you become clear about yourself, clear about what you want to do, clear about interpreting these synchronicities. So it's this that feels like you're stepping into your own movie. You know, you're not being an extra in somebody else's movie. You're standing in your movie unfolding,
mm-hmm.
and it's a process where then when these synchronicities start to happen, you think, oh yeah, these are supposed to happen. And they feel like destiny to me. I was supposed to learn this and then this, and I'm supposed to learn that. And it's almost as though there was a plan that you're becoming conscious of for your life.
Mm.
But it's you know, your higher self, your soul's plan.
Mm.
And that's, but all this breaking through and acquiring new ability, that's what it feels like. But you can't leave the love power part out, because that is what keeps the ego in its proper function. So you don't get power hungry. You have such inner security, the ego behaves itself.
Mm.
And that's when, you know, that's a feeling about ourself in the world that happens. And again, it's, you know, because it's the time in the world where, you know, these huge two new generations are coming to their creative power, it suddenly impacts everybody else because consciousness is contagious.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And that's why I call it new time in the world, where we can step into this kind of consciousness and recognize it when we do.
Yeah, it's wonderful work that you're doing, James. I'm so grateful. And, you know, it's just such a beautiful thing for this information and this level of consciousness to be shared with so many that I know already have benefited but will more so benefit moving forward. And I just don't feel like it'll ever stop. I don't think this will change, you know. Like, I feel like the portal's already opened and it's already going to continue. But it's also, you know, for us to be mindful, to be sharing that, you know, consciousness as you are and so many other people on this planet that have beautiful insights to share as well, that it is all for the end collective. You know, it is for the collective to be able to grow consciously together into newer and expanded paradigms. so then we can start shifting into that direction more so of where we want to see the world, and just having the prophetic vision around it too, you know, seeing it in the mind's eye, and everyone intentfully doing so together, and then allowing that vibration to take over and start manifesting, you know, exactly where we vision, where we want, you know, ourselves to be individually, but the planet as well, which is just a different way of saying what you're saying. So,
It's in the air, you know, it's inside us to do this now. And one of the things that we want to do when we have the bandwidth on this tour is toward the end of this part workshop, part, what would you call it? Energy raising. Mm-hmm. But at the end, we want to share this consciousness worldwide, you know, on a live stream, so that people can be able to join us in a meditation for the world and for the future and holding of this consciousness. And that alone is transformative, but we want everybody to, if they can't make it to the event, you know, at the end, at least come in with us and help have a worldwide meditation for this consciousness. The consciousness that we've been talking about to move into the world, because again, that's a visualization we can have.
Yes,
and people, you know, it makes a difference in the overall consciousness. That's been proven. There's been so much research about group meditations for the world that have reduced crime statistically and that sort of thing. So these big visualizations. From this consciousness and with a love-based, heart-based emotion, work very, very quickly, and we'll have fun doing that too.
That's great, James. I've just noticed, which I'll just comment quickly. There's a few people that have commented saying, "Please come to Australia." And for those that have commented that, I've already asked James, so. and somebody just said that they went to your website to see if you would come to Australia but haven't been able to see it. And so we know that that's not probably on the cards yet, but at least we're going to, us Australians, throwing that intention out there, and hopefully we can have you as a more than welcome visitor to Australia to share, you know, some of this awesome work. And maybe at some stage you'd be able to tour here, so that would be wonderful. Potentially.
Yeah,
So this meditation that we're talking about, that everyone could chime in potentially online, is that a part of the tour, or is that something that might occur at some point?
Well, we think we can do it at least by the second event. We just have to, it's just a matter of setting up the electronics and having the bandwidth where we are.
Yeah.
At that time. So, you know, we'll be doing that. We'll have down the road, we'll actually have one that will be worldwide. That's the whole event, you know, the whole mapping out of these new abilities that we have to live the good life that has a positive impact on the world. So we'll do one of those worldwide as we go, and people will be able to know that. But you know, part of this grounding, this energy, is in localities. So what I would like to see is you know, people who want to energize their locality, their city, you know, to come to these events and make it a priority to bring their energy into this, because the more energy and consciousness that we can build during the event, yeah, the more impact we can have in that city and beyond.
Yeah. Yeah. And grow it from an energetic level.
It will change cities.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
It's just that we've been in a wall, because the world seems to have slid into some kind of more darkness, but That's not the way to look at that. Mm-hmm. What's happening out there where you see corruption in more and more places, and really bad corruption, you don't get fearful. You choose an alternative. That means going into this type of consciousness that we've been talking about, because what's happening in the world, it seems like there's more corruption. I don't believe there's more corruption. There's less corruption, but it's all being revealed. In fact, the people that are doing the corruption are revealing it. And it's everywhere. It's on both sides of any political issue you might want to think about. In other words, the kind of entrenched corruption is on all, that it kind of controls all politics, period. So if you change sides or choose any side, really, what happens is that you're just feeding that same corruption. And what works a lot better, I believe, is what we've been talking about. Join the light side, join this consciousness, live that, because again, it's the way to be luckier, way to feel more creative, way to recognize the opportunities when they come your way, and begin to step into this flow of destiny that we're talking about.
Yeah.
Believe me, that's not only more fun, it actually shifts the world.
Yeah. Actually has a greater impact positively by doing so. And I think, what's very important, and I kind of touched base on this already, there are a lot of people in humanity that feel that by rallying towards and against something in the way that they do so aggressively is actually working for the light. And it's just a perception that's been latched onto that really needs to dissipate and be shifted into and transformed. So with this work, and I suppose with your tours and sharing this message, it's a beautiful way to start dissipating that level of perception and transforming that into how we go about our business, about voicing up and voicing against the things that we feel are unjust in the world.
That's right. And that, that all takes care of itself. I mean, it's not that we don't have to join movements, bring love into those movements and not rancor, because all that is what feeds the corruption. And so if we can replace it with a kind of heart-based power, that power, power of consciousness, without getting into battles on one side or the other, just stand as an alternative. So we said that, and that's the clarity I believe we need to move the world forward in the future. Because I'll say this, just this last thing, if these abilities that I'm talking about, this consciousness, the best life you can possibly live, if you just think a minute, how the world would change if everybody was doing it. What if 50% of the people were doing it? What if 75 were? And because of this moment, this time, where we're all sort of seeking a better way for our individual lives and for the world, if we can all, enough of us step into this, then it's a time to make a real difference.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, James, thank you so much. I've so appreciated having this chat with you. Is there anything that you'd love to share for those that are listening? So we know that you're going on tour. And for those, I will share a link so people at the end of this interview, so people can log on and see. I've already shared your website. So that's wonderful. People can jump on there and have a look. Is there anything else with our Healing Networks community here in Australia? Any last words of wisdom or anything else that you think would benefit our listeners to one, obviously, better understand your tour, or just to wrap up with? Something inspirational to be in alignment with the inspirational tour that's coming ahead.
Well, I would just ask everybody to explore these events. You know, explore the CelestineProphecyTour.com, or just Google my name, it'll come up. But the main thing is if everybody could sort of go into their higher space and just set an intention, a positive intention, for these workshops, these deep explorations, for them to be successful and grow and be really of service to the people that come. Mm-hmm. Because if we can do that, then what happens is that the energy of it will grow and we'll be able to go to more places and on and on. Mm-hmm. But people who, there are people out there, what they do is they hold the consciousness for it, for things. And I just ask all of them to, hold this positive affirmation for these events at the time and place where they're occurring.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry if you can't come, and I understand. But the more people holding a vision for this, the collective energy of this, the more impact we can have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wonderful.
And remember, it's the best life you can possibly have, the most creative, the most clear, the most secure, inwardly secure life that we can reach as individuals. But collectively, we create the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely agree. Wonderful. Thank you so much, James. It's been beautiful to chat with you. And I'm looking forward to hoping to come to the States and attend one of your events. So fingers crossed, I'm going to hold the vision and hold the consciousness to make that happen. Or if not, hopefully in Australia, we might at some point have the pleasure of you visiting us and sharing your beautiful self and wisdom and information and events and workshops here. For many of those that I know that would love to be able to have you here in Australia and attend and be a part of the movement. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you for that. And keep up your good work. I know what you do, and you're very intuitive and have a lot, you have a very conscious energy, and that helps me to express. So that works for everybody you interview, I'm sure. So keep it up.
I will. Thank you. Thank you. So grateful for that comment. Thank you so much. And I suppose hopefully at some point we'll talk to you again soon.